Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Thank you for turning there. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we once again commit ourselves to you this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the holy word of God. Lord, your word is the way that you choose to awaken us to righteousness so that we would sin not. Lord, your word is able to quicken us as your Holy Spirit takes the word of God and applies it to our lives. We pray we would not hinder his desire this evening to make us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would keep us from distractions and even tiredness at the end of the day. And Lord, help us to enjoy this time in your word. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes once again to see what you can see. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would desire to walk through the open doors that you set before us each day. And may you be the only one who receives the glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin this evening's message with a little story about two shoe salesmen that went to Africa to open new stores. Well, they both had very different responses after being there for a week. One of them wrote back to headquarters straight away and said, look, I'm hopping on the next plane home. I can't sell shoes here. Everybody walks barefooted. Well, the other salesman had a completely different response. He said, send all the shoes you can. Unlimited opportunities. Nobody wears shoes. Well, as you can see, they both had different attitudes, didn't they? And just the same way, Christian, we need to understand that every day we are given opportunities, but we don't always see them as we should. And tonight we're going to be encouraged to walk through the doors that God opens for us, because in the Bible this evening we're going to see how God miraculously opens doors and how he miraculously opens hearts in order to bring the lost to salvation. And we're going to be encouraged to walk through those open doors. Now, do you remember the words of the risen Christ in the book of the Revelation to the church in Philadelphia? What was his promise? Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, here's a question. If someone opened a door for you this evening, what's the polite thing to do?
Thank you.
Say thank you and walk through it. I hope that's still true today. That's the polite thing to do, or it used to be at least. Now, when the risen Lord opens a door for us, would you agree it ceases to be a matter of politeness and now it is a matter of obedience? So, Christian, we need to walk through God's open doors. Now, the first example we see this evening is that God opens a door for the gospel. Come back to verse number 9 in chapter 16. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Notice, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us." All right, well, here we see Paul and his missionary team. They are going on their second missionary journey. Silas was there, Timothy was there, Luke wrote the book of Acts, so he was there as well. And we know that they went forth, and their plan was to go where? Well, they wanted to go north to the area known in the Bible as Asia. We know that as modern day Turkey today. And that's where they wanted to take the gospel. But something happened. The Bible tells us that in verses 6 and 7, the Holy Spirit said no. Would you agree that the doors were closed for a time? That's not where God wanted them to go. Well, in verse number 9, they came down to a coastal town called Troas, and that's where Paul received a message in a dream. Now remember, in that day, the Bible was not yet completed. They did not have a book like you and I have today, the completed revelation of God. And so God used different means to speak to his people. Now, he doesn't use dreams to speak to his children today. If you received a dream or a vision from God in the night, you probably had too much pepperoni pizza the night before, okay? And that's probably the problem. You see, Paul received a message from God. It was in the form of a man crying out for help. And he knew at that time that God wanted him to go in a completely different direction. The Bible says that, notice, while Paul wanted to go east, God said, "Now I want you to go west." Now, why is that? Why did God close the door to Asia and open up a brand new door in the West? Why did God direct them that way? Well, you see, from what we've already read to begin with, we know that in a place called Macedonia, in a place, in a city called Philippi, there was a lady named who? A lady named Lydia. And though Peter did not know who she was, or where she was, or who was over in the West, God did. You see, God seeketh such as should be saved. And God was working in Lydia's heart, and Lydia was seeking the Lord, and so God opened the door for some missionaries to take the gospel into a brand new area known as Europe. And so God opens the door for the gospel. Would you agree with me tonight that God wanted Lydia to be saved? Amen? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that's why God directed them that way. Now, likewise, Christian, here's the lesson for us. God also opens doors for you and I every day. God sets before us open doors for the gospel. And the challenge for us is that we need to be willing to go where God wants us to go. One missionary said in a message, I'll never forget it, he said, "There is a people somewhere in the world waiting for you to bring the gospel to them." Wow, what a statement. The question is, where are they? Where are they? Now, they could be right next door, as I mentioned this morning. They could be your workmates. Kids, they could be your friends in school. They could be people you meet every day when you go shopping. They could be your family. They could be extended relatives. They could be someone else on the other side of the world where God wants you to get to be a missionary. Where does God want you to go? Christian, God opens doors for us. But we don't always see them. That's the problem. Now, sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I read the book of Acts and I've realized something, that I am nothing like the Apostle Paul. How many of you would say that this morning? Or this evening, I should say. You know, so often we say, well, look at Paul. I'm not like him. I don't have the gift of the gab, and he probably did. And I don't know the scriptures inside out. He did before perhaps he was even saved. And then it clicked when he became a Christian. And so, you know, I'm nothing like the Apostle Paul. Now, do you realize that you are exactly like the Apostle Paul in the most important ways? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us so. And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, here's a trick question. In that scheme of spreading the gospel, Acts 1:8, where is Australia?
What's in there somewhere?
Well, you know, so often we liken where we live to our Jerusalem, and that's true, but I like Pastor's comment this evening about context. If we're going to speak literally about Acts 1:8, there is the literal city of Jerusalem, there is the region of Judea, there is Samaria, and then there is what? So where is Australia? Now, guess what, church family? You are in the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, you are already missionaries. Amen? I know this is your Jerusalem if you want to apply it that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, we are in the uttermost part of the earth. Mauritius is the uttermost part of the earth. God has put you in a place where He wants you to reach the lost around you. But do you see the open doors before you? The Bible says in Acts 1:8, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we are exactly like the Apostle Paul. We receive the Holy Spirit of God, and He is the one, God the Spirit living within us, who gives us the boldness, who gives us the courage, who gives us the wisdom to witness to others for Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So yes, we are like Paul. And we need to step through those open doors. You know, when you have an opportunity to witness to someone, don't forget that doesn't happen because you are someone slick and persuasive and God has a special hand upon you and He wants to use you. No, that's not why we get to witness to people. And listen, just because we get to witness to someone and they listen to the gospel, that's the reason for that isn't because it's by chance or you were lucky. No, every time we have an opportunity to share the gospel, it's because the risen Lord opened that door for us. Amen? And our responsibility is to step through those open doors. Christian, which shoe salesman are you like? Aren't you glad as Christians we're not selling anything? Amen? But which one are you like? Are you like the one who said, hey, no one wants to listen. No one wants to get saved. There's no point anymore. You might as well hang on for the rope of the rapture and just wait until Jesus comes. Or are you like the Christian who realized, hey, most people are not saved. Most people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Send as much of the gospel out as you can. Everybody needs to be saved. Which one are you like? Well, I hope you're like the second. Christian, we need to be about the Father's business. Are you walking through God's open doors? Now, before we move on to the next point, do you realize that a local independent Baptist church is an open door for the gospel? Aren't you glad that you've got somewhere that you can invite your family and friends to? Isn't that wonderful? Somewhere where they will hear the simplicity of the gospel, a clear message. It was in a church exactly like this in Canberra where I first heard the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? It was in a community hall and I walked in and I thought, what kind of church is this? But then when I heard the message, then God grabbed a hold of my heart. I'd heard nothing like it. I've heard everything but the gospel. And then there was a challenge at the end to receive Christ. I knew I should have gone forward and God used that challenge to eventually break down the hardness in my heart to show me that I was a sinner in need of a Saviour. Hey, don't despise the open door of Northside Baptist Church. Invite your friends. Invite your family. Hey, listen, are you a part of the outreach of this church? Do you realize that that is an open door from God? If your church has an outreach, you need to be there. But so often we're like the first salesman who says, well, I don't think anything will happen. What's the point? And that's why we don't see the miraculous happen. Because you see, what happens next is a revelation from the Lord to show us what happens when God's servants walk through those open doors. Now, are you ready to see what happens? All right, notice God opened the door for the gospel. And notice, secondly, in verse 13, God opens the door of Lydia's heart. Notice verse 13. Well, back up in verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, they went in that direction, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, what's very interesting is that Philippi in that day was known as a Rome away from Rome. Now, what does that mean? Well, it was a place full of Roman people. They were Romans living outside of Rome, and it was often a place where retired soldiers went to live. So it was a very, very Roman city. In fact, it was so dedicated to the Roman Empire and their Caesar, it was believed there was a sign out the front at the main gate saying this: no new religions allowed. Now, can you imagine God calling you to walk through an open door into a place like that, and you see a sign, no new religions allowed? Now, many of us would think, that's a closed door. I might as well go home. But you remember the promise from the Lord to the church in Philadelphia? When God opens a door, what's the promise? No man can
shut it.
That's right. And so they walked through that open door, and they went to a riverside where women were praying to God, and that's where they found this lady named Lydia. Now, what do we know about Lydia in verse 14? The Bible tells us that she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, what I want to impress on your heart tonight is that everything we know about Lydia tells us that she was like an Australian woman. She was a wealthy woman. People in Australia are wealthy, okay? All you need to do is go to a third world country and come back for you to realize that, if you don't realize that by now. Australia is a wealthy country. Lydia was a wealthy woman. The Bible tells us she was from the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira was on the main trade route in Asia, and it was famous in its day for commerce. It was a business center. And so Lydia, picture this, she was a businesswoman. Now, what was she selling? Seller of purple. Now, that is very important. Very significant. You know, God tells us these details for a reason. You see, in that day, the color purple was the most expensive, the most sought after, the most luxurious colored fabric in that day. Those of you who've studied Roman history will know that the color purple represented the highest and most elite dignitaries and power and authority. So if someone was famous, someone was very high up in authority in the government, they would often wear the color purple to symbolize that. And so Lydia traded in that product. You can think about the most expensive brands today, like Gucci or Armani or all those other brands that you see in those glass windows, you know, in Perth. And you wonder, who can ever afford that? Well, that's the kind of product that Lydia sold. It was very, very expensive. And another reason for that is because it was painstakingly difficult to produce. In fact, this color dye purple came from a special sea snail, and thousands of snails had to be crushed in order to produce just a small amount of dye. And whenever something is very hard to produce, it makes it very what? Very expensive. So Lydia was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. She was a wealthy woman. Now, why is that important this evening? Well, think about this for a moment. On the Sabbath day, what was Lydia doing? Was she down at the markets trying to break another business deal? Yes or no? No, she wasn't. Was she having a holiday and taking a break and enjoying herself? No, she wasn't. What was Lydia doing? The Bible tells us that Lydia was down by the riverside praying because she was seeking God. Verse number 14 tells us she was worshipping God. Now, was Lydia a Christian yet? Yes or no? Think about that for a moment. Was she a Christian? She was seeking, exactly, sister. She was seeking, she was not yet saved. And here is my point this evening. Lydia was a wealthy woman, yet she had a hole in her heart that she knew that money could not fill. She knew that the world's riches could not satisfy her. She had been there, she had done that, and now she was seeking God. Isn't that exciting? And that's why this example is so important for us here in Australia. Listen, everyone around us is rich, isn't that right? Hey, don't you drive over through your suburb at night and you see all these gigantic screens? Now they're almost as big as the walls, isn't that right? They used to be this big and we thought, wow, that's a big screen. And now they fill the entire wall. People have home cinemas, they have their Wi-Fi, they have all their gadgets. Hey, they've got their caravan, they've got their motorboat, they've got their four-wheel drives. Listen, they've got everything under the sun, and yet we know for a fact they are not satisfied. They may not know that, but we do. And sooner or later, they will realize that all that they fill their life with cannot satisfy, and they need the gospel. And guess who God wants to use to bring it to them?
Us all.
It's us. Amen. And that's why we need to be like Paul and his team. Hey, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. To go to the person that God wants us to share the gospel with. Now listen, unlike Lydia, they may not respond positively. They may not get saved right away. But that's not our business. We need to simply preach the gospel and do what God wants us to do. Hey, wouldn't you have liked to have been there by the riverside to hear what Paul said to Lydia? Now here is a little secret. We know what Paul said. Though we were not there, we know what Paul said. Have a look back in a few verses. Have a look in verse number 10. Acts chapter 16, verse 10. Notice carefully. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to do what? To preach the gospel unto them. So what did Paul preach to Lydia? He preached the gospel. The good news. He preached the wonderful message of the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness in full for all our sins. That is the message that he preached. And Christian, if you ever get to the point where you convince yourself that you don't know what to say, you're not as good as Paul, you might as well stay home, but no, because no one wants to hear from you, my friend, you have believed the devil's lies. If you are a Christian, listen, you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can be sensitive to those open doors, you can walk through them and simply declare the message of the gospel. That's what Lydia needed to hear, and that's what everyone needs to hear around us. Christian, I wonder where the next Lydia is. Isn't that a good thought? I wonder where the next seeker like Lydia is. Let me encourage you, just like Paul, you don't know where they are and you don't know who they are, but God will open those doors for you, but we need to simply step through them. My, what a wonderful example for us this evening. Have a look back in verse number 14. The Bible says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. So as she heard the gospel, what happened? Whose heart the Lord, say it?
Opened.
Now who opened Lydia's heart? Was it Paul's persuasiveness? Was it his salesman technique? God forbid. Was it his good looks or flashiness? Was it his wealth? Was it his enticement to a giant church with all these activities for Lydia's family and their children and all the jumping castles and all the sports activities that a church could ever have? Is that what he enticed her with? No. You don't need any of that garbage, amen? What she needed was the gospel. And that's what he preached, and God is the one who opened her heart. Christian, God opens a door for us. And if we step through it, here's the truth. God is the one who will do the miraculous. Isn't that right? He will open the hearts of the lost. That's not our work. That's his work. Our work is to obey the Lord, to preach the gospel. You know, when you give out a tract, you don't have to just leave it at that. I was challenged by one missionary who came from Papua New Guinea to visit us when we were in Cairns. And as he hands out the gospel, he tells them, please receive this message. It's about the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that you can be forgiven for all your sins. And that's the message he shares every time he gives out a tract. That's sharing the gospel quickly. If God gives you more time, you can go into more detail. But what people need to hear is the message of the gospel. They need to hear about who Jesus Christ is. These things are not complicated. If you're saved, you know these truths already, isn't that right? You know He is the only way. You know that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christians, you know these things, but are we stepping through the doors? Do we believe that there is a Lydia around the corner? No matter how rich your neighbors are, they have a God-shaped hole in their heart that only God can fill. And Christian, Lydia was not satisfied. She was seeking. Hey, let's go and reach some Lydias this week. Amen? Where are they? Well, let's let the Lord lead us to them. And when He leads us to them, we trust God to open their hearts. She believed the gospel. She received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, how do we know that? Because the Bible tells us here in verse number 15, and when she was baptized. Now, you see, in those days, things happened as they should. Today, they don't. Because there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, false teaching, false prophets, false preachers that have taken the Word of God and taught false messages. You see, someone does not get baptized to become a Christian. Someone gets baptized after they've become a Christian. You see, baptism was the evidence of someone who was already born again. Baptism doesn't make you born again. Only Jesus Christ can cause your spirit to become alive once you're saved and regenerates you and you become a child of God and you're born again, and then afterwards you're baptized to picture what Jesus Christ has already done in your heart. So Lydia right here being baptized was the very evidence that she was already a Christian. She already had a home in heaven. Her sins were already covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wanted to show everyone around her about what Jesus had done in her heart. My, isn't that exciting? Now notice this. What happened next? The Bible says, and when she was baptized and her, say it, household. Her entire household. Now, if her entire household was baptized, what do we assume? That every single one of them also did what? That's right. They heard the gospel. Just like Lydia, they attended unto the things spoken of Paul, and they also received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now an entire household is now saved. Why? Because a group of Christians walked through an open door that God had opened for them. My. God opens the door for the gospel. God opens Lydia's heart. Now thirdly, and I'll close with this, notice what happens next. Now it does sound like a bit of a salesman's technique tonight to say, but there's more. But there really is. Notice verse 15. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now notice the change in Lydia's heart. You know, she was a new Christian. But she didn't need to go through a 8 to 10 or 12 month discipleship program to convince her that if you're a Christian, you ought to love your brethren. Isn't that right? Hey, she didn't need to be taught that. It was already what we see, the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in her heart. You know what Lydia did? She wanted to be a blessing to Paul and his team, and she wouldn't take no for an answer. You know, I think Lydia is something like the people that come from the Middle East. I have a sister-in-law who's Lebanese. And in their culture, if they invite you for a meal, listen, they're not going to take no for an answer. You know, when they say we want you to come over for dinner, you better be there or else. And they put on a big spread of food and they show hospitality like you wouldn't believe. And they want to care for your every need. You know, that's in their culture. And now Lydia had a new culture. It's what we call a Christian culture. And she wanted to be a blessing to Paul. Listen, who was Paul to her? Before he was a stranger. But now he was a preacher of the gospel. Now she wanted to be a blessing. You know, to beseech beseech them in verse 15, it means to compel. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. She said, come and rest at my home. Come and let me be a blessing. And obviously she was a wealthy woman. She had a home large enough for them to stay. And she would not take no for an answer. And then she continued to persuade them. And the Bible says right at the end that she constrained us. She constrained us, which means to compel, to force. And so here's Lydia, a changed person from the inside out. Not over a long period of time, but instantaneously. Isn't that the miraculous result of salvation? Now we know some things don't change straight away. We need to grow, absolutely. But there was enough of a change here to show us that Lydia had truly been born again. Now, let me close with chapter 16 and verse 40. After being beaten, after being persecuted in the Philippian jail, and we know the miracles that took place there, where did Paul and his team go? Where did they go to recover after this beating? Where did they end up retreating to once again? Well, notice verse number 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of, say it, Lydia. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Because as we step back, what do we see? When God's children walk through His miraculous open doors, sooner or later, someone's going to be saved. And in this instance, not only was Lydia saved, but also her household. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, Pastor, that the First Baptist Church in Philippi, and I think you know what I mean, the first church in Philippi began probably in Lydia's home. That's where Paul and his team retreated to. That's where the Philippian jailer went to. And a new work for God began in that city. Why? Because some Christians were obedient enough to not do what they felt like doing, to not go in the direction that they wanted to go, but to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to say, yes, God, I'll do that. And they stepped forward, and God did the miraculous. Now, would you agree that God is still doing the miraculous today? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. And we need to have a heart of faith to do what these Christians did in our day today. Now, listen, before I close, perhaps this evening you are like Lydia. Perhaps you have been seeking the things of this world and you know they don't satisfy. You can try them all, but you always have something missing that nothing can ever satisfy except for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one whom we are separated from. We are all sinners in God's sight, and God loves us so much that He came down to this earth. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to pay for our sins. He shed His holy blood to pay in full for your sins and mine once and for all. He rose again from the dead, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Instantaneously we're forgiven. Forever we're forgiven. We are covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we are made a child of God, and we are His possession, and we are His children forever. My friend, has there been a time that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Maybe you're like Lydia this evening, and you need to trust Him once and for all. Maybe tonight you need to turn to Him. Now, if you have received Christ as your Savior, listen, if we've walked through the door of salvation, we need to rush through the door of service before it's too late. One day that door is going to close and another one is going to open. Just like John heard it in Revelation chapter 4, what did it say in verse number 1? And I heard a voice, as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and off we will go. Another door will open, the door of the rapture. and we'll be gone. And that means that door will be closed for us. No more service for the Lord. No more open doors to preach the gospel. And so, Christian, now is the time. Amen. Let's walk through the door of service after the door of salvation. And as Lydia opened her home, let's be encouraged. My, we don't know the potential. We don't know the potential of one soul saved that then goes on to witness to their family. Isn't that right? That then goes on to ask the question, where do I go for church? And suddenly more miracles result. But it begins with walking through God's open doors.